Welcome to Herd Mentality, a podcast from StoneX where we discuss global dairy markets and what's driving them. It's important to remember that the trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. We're recording this Friday morning, June 7th, U.S. time. With me is Dave Krzyzewski, team lead on our dairy team in Chicago, and we've had a very volatile week in the U.S. dairy markets. Monday, Tuesday, we saw the spot market bid higher. That pushed futures up to new contract highs. Then Wednesday, Thursday, we gave up most of the rally that we saw in the first half of the week. So it's been a very volatile week. What do you think is going on with cheese, Dave?
Well, I think, Nate, we're in some type of a bull market, right? And whether or not it's demand-driven or supply-driven, I think it's more supply-driven. And within that, you're going to have, sometimes you have these big swings. I think the cheese price is adjusted enough for now, and it's largely distributing sideways in terms of price action. But the $1.50, $1.40 of the first quarter, that's behind us at this point. And I don't think we're going back there anytime real soon. So, the market, price movements, there's a lot of noise in the past week in the class three and cheese markets. And, I think part of that was, kind of earlier this week was inspired by the class four side of the equation, which, saw butter basically, butter kind of prices gave up 5 weeks of gains in 2 days last week and then rallied right back and made some new highs. Of course, roundly rejected those highs, which I think is kind of bearish on butter, but we're not talking butter at the moment. Go ahead.
Let me roll back. You said you think the cheese market is more supply driven, but April milk production was better than expected. We got the April cheese production data this week, and cheese production was better than forecast, up 1.8%. Why do you think the strength in U.S. cheese is supply driven?
Well, yes, total cheese was up, mozzarella was up. We priced off of cheddar, and cheddar production has been down. So cheddar production was down, 8.6% in April? And so we're pricing fresh cheddar, 4 to 30 day old cheddar price sets the price for everything. Well, not everything, but a lot, probably 80% of the cheese in the U.S. And so, I think that's maybe that's one element of it. And then to, give my dairy farmer friends their due, we've been in kind of a 2-year bear cycle. The last time we were at $2.40 cheese was April of 2022. And then we came down basically, and every high in the market, in the cheese market, from April of 2022 was a lower high. And then we made, lower lows. And we've had some, certainly there's been a handful of months in there where profit margins were just not good based on the milk price itself. But then you've also got the increased cost of producing milk and the increased cost of money and you go down the line, labor, everything. And so, you haven't seen the same kind of exuberant behavior in terms of capital investment in new dairy farming or adding cows and those things in the last, 12 to 18 months that you have seen on the processor side. So I think producers are still milking cows. They're doing a good job, but, it's been a tougher economic situation for them over the last 18 months, let's call it. And on top of that, now you have this avian flu, ripping through some of these dairies. And it's we could debate, how many dairies out there have this, but it's not a small thing for the individual dairy producer that gets this on their dairy. They lose milk, they lose money. So, I think I could just say, hey, the USDA might be wrong about their milk production numbers. I could say that, but I would say, let's assume that they're right. Let's assume that, butter and the fat in the milk and the protein, which has been, really going gangbusters over the last couple of years, has been helpful. I still think if you look around, you know, if you talk to manufacturers, folks that are buying milk, they're like, hey, it's tight. You know, it's tight out there. Now, certain milk sheds are worse than others, but I think, you know, there's, you know, we make a lot of cheese in the upper Midwest. Right now, there seems to be plenty of milk in the upper Midwest. So, yeah, I mean, that's helpful. But we are going to start to get hot. And I think there's certain pockets, you know, again, this avian flu is ripping through places like Michigan, which I think has an impact, you know. So I do think there's a bit of a supply side of this story. Actually, I think that's the predominant driving force behind what's going on, at least on the class three and cheese side. What I do find interesting is the non-fat dry milk market has not really participated in this. It's been very sideways and choppy, and people are still, you know, largely bearish the non-fat market.
We have seen a little bit of strength in non-fat, but non-fat's really a global product. We can't disconnect from the world market by very much. Maybe we can go a penny or two above for a little while if we really have a supply issue or domestic or Mexican demand is really strong. But we have seen a little bit of strength in the world market. The GDT auction earlier this week was stronger than expected. I can't remember the skim milk powder price. It was either $1.23 or $1.25 average price. And we have the CME spot market that went up to $1.20 this week and then fell back to $1.19. So we still have a little bit of a gap between U.S. and Europe and Oceania pricing where we could see a little bit of strength in non-fat, but I think any strength that we see might be kind of short-lived and capped. While GDT was higher, that was mostly due to higher prices in the nearby delivery months. Months further out, they're still relatively flat on the skim milk powder, with the expectation that New Zealand's at the low point in their season. They've sold off most of their product. There isn't a whole lot of product available from the Northern Hemisphere. The market can tighten a little bit here short term, but as New Zealand ramps up into the fourth quarter, supplies are going to become more available globally. And I think that's what's holding down the non-fat.
Fair. But you don't see any issue with the New Zealand, the new season milk production coming on. Is there anything that you're seeing on that front that would say, hey, this could get a little tighter for New Zealand?
No, the milk price for the season that just ramped up turned out a little bit better than expected. The input costs came down compared to the prior season. It looks like New Zealand farmers were, average farmer was slightly positive in terms of margins. And right now we're starting their new season pretty strong. Fonterra's official forecasted milk price for the season that we're going into is $8 New Zealand per kilogram milk solids. But with prices where they were at the GDT auction this week, that would be suggesting $9 per kilogram milk solids, and cost of production is probably around $7.50. So the margins look good. It'll just come down to the weather. We're not going to get much expansion in terms of cow numbers, maybe even a small decline in cow numbers again for New Zealand. But if the weather is somewhere near normal, we should still eke out something between flat milk production and up 0.5%. But the issue is going to be the demand from China is continuing to look very weak, and whole milk powder is their biggest import product. New Zealand had to shift a lot of milk out of whole milk powder and into skim milk powder and butter for the season that we just came out of because the demand from China for whole milk powder just wasn't there. And that looks like it's going to continue into the next season. So even with flat milk production out of New Zealand, we're still going to see a lot of skim milk powder and maybe even a record amount of skim milk powder coming out of New Zealand.
Okay, well, you're watering down my bullish argument. But you said weather, it's a lot of it's going to come down to weather. And I would add into that you know, there's the data-driven side of it, and then there's the human behavior side of these markets. And from a price behavior perspective, because I like to watch the price behavior first, you know, the non-fat, the U.S. non-fat market, futures market, is not behaving bearishly at the moment. It's looks like it's put a bottom in, and it's choppy sideways, and it, you know, so behavior is changing, price behavior is changing a little bit. Human behavior, as far as the, you know, physical product is concerned, I think there's been a little bit of an uptick in demand from our friends south of the border. But there is this bearish sentiment and high level of skepticism amongst participants in the non-fat market at the moment. And I see the market as being quite keyed up at the moment for that to change. And I, you know, again, we're going into the summer months and maybe things get, you know, tighter in the U.S. I mean, maybe there's a number of different things that we, a story that we don't know today that unfolds over the next several months. But the environment on the U.S. non-fat market right now is ripe for more strength in price, in my opinion, and largely driven by a fear of missing out. I think that people have become, and when I say people, I mean buyers have become complacent in a lot of ways, just expecting the market to chop sideways and kind of looking out at the fundamentals that you can see and say, hey, you know, this doesn't look terrible. You know, it doesn't look like the market's going to take, the global demand has been weak in China and all these things, which I don't disagree with. But I do think that if the market, like at 118, there's X amount of buyers, at 128, I think there's going to be X, you know, squared, you know, or maybe not squared, but you know, there's going to be a number more buyers that step in because I feel like there's this, you know, kind of lackadaisical attitude around, owning either the physical and or the futures derivative contract, unlike a market like butter, which over the past 3 months has been driven, the butter futures market has been driven by people saying, I really don't care. I need to get something locked up. The need has been on the butter side and not on the non-fat side. So I see a tremendous amount of upside risk potentially with the non-fat market. But, you know, like, again, we don't have the story this morning.
Yeah. At the risk of getting it very, very wrong, what do you think about butter?
If there's one market that I'm a little bit bearish of at the moment, it's butter. There is a that being said, I should say that this week was the first week that I've actually started hearing more and more comments about cream becoming more tight in the U.S. So it's kind of hard to be real bearish butter, you know, when you start to hear those kinds of things. However, you know, I feel like it's been so one-sided for such a long time, and, you know, we're starting to zig and zag a little bit up here. Tops of markets can come with, you know, a lot of back and forth initially. Sometimes they don't, you know, just peter out and die. They sometimes can be very volatile. And so I'm looking at the butter price action saying, okay, that's a little toppy what we're seeing here. Doesn't mean there's a top, but I would say, you know, we could chop sideways around these levels for a while longer. But ultimately, you know, I'm not really sure if the bulk, the demand for bulk, you know, AA salted butter in the U.S. at the moment is like, you know, really aggressive at the $3 level. Or if it's the folks that own the butter that really don't have a concerted interest in, you know, pushing the price down on themselves at the moment. The thing about the butter market is that, you know, when that changes and somebody needs to get something sold, you know, one load can feel like 20 loads pretty quickly. We just have not gotten to that place yet on the butter market. But I would say that I'm perplexed by the carry in the market, too. You know, if you've got, if you need the bulk butter, if you need the actual physical product, why, you know, we should be much higher on the spot market than we are on the September contract or the August contract for that matter. So it's an unusual situation to be in a carry market at a $3 level, for butter. And, yeah, it doesn't give me this like warm sense of being super bullish, the product, for the long term.
Yeah. I'm with you. My call is chopping sideways, but for the first time in 6 months, I'm more concerned about the downside than the upside, given how strong the butter production has been and how much the butter inventories have increased this year. With that, I think we'll leave it there. Thanks for your time today, Dave.
Thank you, Nate. Appreciate it.
The StoneX Dairy team spans the U.S., EU, Asia, and Oceania, providing market intelligence, analysis, and forecasts through our interactive data platform called StoneX Plus, as well as full-service brokerage on the major dairy exchanges, the CME, EEX, and SGX. If you're interested in finding out more about our market intelligence or brokerage services, you can find more information on StoneX.com.
This communication is issued in the European Economic Area by StoneX Financial Europe SA, SFE by the SFE presenters noted. This communication is issued in the United States by FCM Division of StoneX Financial Inc., SFI, by the SFI presenters noted. And the material should be construed as the solicitation of trading strategies and / or services provided by SFI. StoneX is the trade name used by StoneX Group Inc. and all its associated entities and subsidiaries. StoneX Group Inc. companies provide financial services worldwide through its subsidiaries, including physical commodities, securities, exchange-traded and over-the-counter, under derivatives, risk management, global payments, and foreign exchange products in accordance with applicable law in the jurisdictions where services are provided. References to certain over-the-counter OTC products or swaps are made on behalf of StoneX Markets, LLC SXM, a member of the National Futures Association NFA and provisionally registered with the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission CFTC as a swap dealer. SXM products are designed only for individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant ECPAT and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. Wealth management is offered through SA Stone Wealth Management Inc., member FINRA/SIPC, and SA Stone Investment Advisors Inc., and SEC Registered Investment Advisor, both wholly owned subsidiaries of StoneX Group Inc. StoneX Financial Limited SFL is registered in England and Wales, Company No. 5,616,586. SFL is authorized and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority Registration Number FRN 446,717 to provide to professional and eligible customers including arrangement, execution and, where required, clearing derivative transactions in exchange-traded futures and options. SFL is also authorized to engage in the arrangement and execution of transactions in certain OTC products, certain securities trading, precious metals trading and payment services to eligible customers. SFL is authorized regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority under the Payment Services Regulations 2017 for the provision of payment services. SFL is a Category 1 ring dealing member of the London Metal Exchange. In addition, SFL also engages in other physically delivered commodities business and other general business activities which are unregulated and not required to be authorized by the Financial Conduct Authority. StoneX Financial Europe SA. SFE is a securities trading firm registered in the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg under Company No. RC Lux B 10,821. SFE is authorized by the Luxembourg Ministry of Finance and regulated by the Commission de Surveillance du Secteur Financier Registration No. P00000012 to carry out, inter alia, the activities of investment advisor, portfolio manager, professional acting on own account, broker in financial instruments, and commission agent. StoneX Financial T. Limited Co. Reg. No. 201,130,598 RSFP holds a capital market services license and is regulated by Monetary Authority of Singapore MASIF for dealing in exchange-traded derivatives contracts, OTC derivatives contracts and spot foreign exchange contracts for the purposes of leveraged foreign exchange trading. StoneX Financial HK Limited C. No. BCQ 152-SHK is regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission for dealing in futures contracts. StoneX Group Inc. acts as agent for SFL in New York with respect to its payment services business. StoneX Financial T. Limited acts as agent for SFL in Singapore with respect to its payment services business. Trading swaps and over-the-counter derivatives, exchange-traded derivatives and options and securities involve substantial risk and is not suitable for all investors. These materials represent the opinions and viewpoints of the author and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints and trading strategies employed by the FCM division of SFI or SXM. These materials represent the opinions and viewpoints of the author and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints and trading strategies employed by the FCM division of SFI or SXM. The information herein is not a recommendation to trade nor investment research or an offer to buy or sell any derivative or security. It does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs and does not create a binding obligation on any of the StoneX Group Inc. of companies to enter into any transaction with you. You are advised to perform an independent investigation of any transaction to determine whether any transaction is suitable for you. SFP may distribute analysis/report produced by its respective foreign affiliates within the StoneX Group of companies pursuant to an arrangement under Regulation 32C of the Financial Advisors Regulations. The analysis/report is only permitted to be distributed in Singapore to a person who is an accredited investor, expert investor, or an institutional investor as defined under Section 4A of the Securities Futures Act Singapore. Recipients should contact SFP at 656309-1000 for any matters arising from, or in connection with, the analysis or report distributed. No part of this material may be copied, photocopied, or duplicated in any form by any means or redistributed without the prior written consent of StoneX Group Inc. Copyright 2024 StoneX Group Inc. All rights reserved.